Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Friday Night Racing, and we're live on our social channels every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and then we're live again on the radio every Friday evening on Off the Ball on News Talk. Our special guest this week is Brian Cooper. Brian, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm very well. Johnny, how are you?
How are you, Jer?
What's going on?
Yeah, very, very busy weekend. Finally got a bit of rain, I think, on the way, which the tracks really do badly need, and we didn't have that bad of the storm in Dublin, but I think a lot of rain is forecast, which, like, they're talking about firm ground at Punchestown next week in the middle of October. It's nuts, like nearly 20 degrees this week.
Yeah.
And global warming, I know it's actually getting very, very worrying now, like everything we're hearing about it, but in a more crude sense, like, it's not great for racing either.
Starting to hit home a little bit.
Yeah. Because, like, you're not talking about two or three generations at the moment, you're talking about one generation where...
No, they're talking about 12 years. We're screwed in 12 years.
Yeah.
Taken her 12 years, I get a minute.
Yeah, yeah, it's all we have at the moment. But until then, we just have to look for winners.
Yeah.
You know?
Or talk about careers. In particular, yours today.
Yeah. Roller coasters, I'd say.
Yeah. Where are you right now, do you feel? Like, what's...
Finally, it's probably a good year now since I've been let go by Jing Summer. I probably have a routine back to normal again. In Paul Nolan's twice a week. Henry de Bromma is beyond a curry a day a week and kind of floating to other yards there as well. So I've kind of more of a routine going now than what I would have had this time last year, say.
How important is that routine? That, like, in ways that you didn't understand now a year on, it's the first thing you talk about?
Yeah, well, I suppose I was already thinking about this today. I was kind of laughing all my life, well, all my life, my jockey career, say, everything was there, you know, it kind of happened for me, if you get me. You know, I had Desi Hughes, I rode all his horses, they got Jig and Sound, and next thing, all of a sudden, you're on your own, and you actually have to work, you know, and that was the big thing, you know, trying to get your own routine and going doing a bit of work and say, you know, what you put in is what you get out of it nowadays, you know, in the racing game. So I suppose that was the real thing.
Did it come too easy? Is that what you're saying, a little bit?
No, not really. I suppose, like, I did work quite hard when I was with Desi.
Precocious, like, it was, I took you were young.
I was young. I was 18, 19. You know, this all happened quite quick. I 300 at Cheltenham when I was 19. I thought, you know, it's great crack. But, you know, when I suppose I got let go by Jig and Sound, and it kind of hit home for a few weeks, and I got the Potts job, and I said, well, we're back on here again now. Again, and I suppose when I think Cheltenham this year really is when it really hit home. I had two rides in, and, like, I've never gone to Cheltenham since I've been riding, and only had two rides, you know, yeah, for 251 shots. And that's when it really hit home. I said, right, I need to do something about this. And
what can you do, though? Like, it's not like you can go out and get horses. It's not, you know, like.
I think with the way the game has gone now, it's, as I said, it's what you put in is what you get out of it. So the harder you work, which I think Rachel Blackmore is a prime example of, you know, she's worked her backside off and, you know, that's where she is now. You know, she's put in all the work, and I think the more you put in now is the more you get out of it.
When you say putting stuff in, does that mean going to Paul Nolan and saying...
Going to all these yards and saying...
I'll ride out for you.
You know, letting the trainers know that you're willing to put in the work. You know, couple of years ago it might have been different, but there's so many good riders in Ireland now that, you know, trainers have their pick, they can use whoever they want. And
so what you're doing there is putting you front of their minds when it's like, when they're having conversations with the owners, oh, who's going to ride? Well, Cooper was in, he seems to have a good relationship with the horse.
Well, is it as much as that? I think last weekend was, for me, you know, I kind of got a little bit of enjoyment out of it again, which was last Saturday. I rode a horse for Henry de Bromma, Ordinary World, and I'd ridden a bit of work for Henry. I rode him out, and there was a couple of other jockeys in line to ride the horse, and I think, to be fair to Henry, he said to Chris Jones, the owner, look, Brian has been in here, he's been riding work, he's free, why don't we use him, you know? So for me, that was a little of achievement point, you know, that I got a little bit out of what I put into it. So hopefully I can get a few more of them.
How did the horse go?
He didn't stay, sure, he didn't really...
I know, he ran well.
Yeah, he ran well to the point.
Yeah, he ran
well. It's astonishing that, like, Rachel Blackmore is Henry's go-to jockey at the moment, considering Rachel came from relative obscurity, and Jig and Sound are using her an awful lot lately, as is Henry de Bromhead, and Brian is fighting for sort of, I suppose, some sort of restoration of a reputation in a way that he has to come, because this Brian was supposed to be, was going to be the next big thing, and it's just, it's strange the way, you know, life can work. But you can clearly, I think, see now that you're willing to accept that, you know, you're still young.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, I was probably, I achieved a lot in quite a very young age, and I'd say, you know, I didn't take it for granted, but I thought this is going to be the case for the next 20 years. But obviously the game, I think that since I've even started, I think the game has changed quite a lot, and now it's about who works hard, who's willing to put in the effort, and who's popular, I think, really, you know.
Popularity is huge.
Oh, it is, and yeah. like, and I know I'm at this moment in time, I wouldn't be one of the popular jockeys.
Why?
You know.
Why? What happened? What? Like, what did you do? What? How did you go from being?
We only have half an hour.
Cock of the walk, and like, you know, having dominant Cheltenham performances, to having two rides on 50-1 shots. What happened?
Well, I don't think it's. I don't know. I suppose when you're riding for one big operation, I suppose I. Before I got the Jigginstown job, I had Dizzy Hughes, and I had a load of other contacts he was right for as well. But when I got that Jigginstown job, I just put everything into them and just literally rode for them. Like, you know, I didn't, unless I was riding for them on the day, maybe I didn't want to go racing, you know, for somebody else. And
so you were turning down stuff and kind of...
Turned down a couple of rides at the start, yeah, and then with the way the game has gone now, they were all snapped up. And, you know, and then I kind of tried, the year I went for the championship, I think I was only 4 or 5 behind Ruby, and I was trying to get on other rides. I found it quite hard because they'd say, well, yeah, Grant, we'll have him today, but we won't have him the next day, you know, because he'd be riding for Jigginstown. So that's what I found quite hard. And I suppose that's kind of when it really hit home as well.
Was that when the politics of the whole game, you began to understand that maybe you had not played that properly? Is that what happened?
Maybe. Well,
popularity, like,
yeah. Well, I think I got a little bit of a name for not wanting to, you know, maybe people, like a few trainers have said to me, well, you only want to ride the good horses, and you don't want to ride the bad horses. And to be fair, that was one of the things Michael said to me when we had that meeting. He said, look, you know, to me, you only want to ride the good horses, and maybe I did.
Michael O'Leary, when he was sacking you, is that?
Well, it was one of the things that came up in conversation. Yeah, but
is that fair?
Maybe at the time, maybe I kind of, well, I wouldn't say it's fair, but
you'd be indifferent though to going to Kilbegan for a couple of average
at
rides.
At the time, I did. Yeah, yeah. I thought, you know, sure, look, somebody else can ride him. You know. I suppose that's that little bubble you get sucked into, really. And,
if you look at Rachel, you just can't do that anymore.
Not anymore.
You just have
not
to
anymore.
Work.
A couple of years ago, you did get away, Richard. Like a lot of people used to do it, but not now. The game has changed. You have to go where it's Kilwagan on a Friday evening or Sleppersound on a Sunday at a Grade One. You have to go where you want to ride.
Why did you get sucked into saying no to that kind of stuff? What happened?
Don't know. I suppose. I got used to the good days and thought it was all great, and in my own head maybe I said, oh, I should look to somebody else there to give them an opportunity, but maybe Michael saw it different. Well, this lad's not putting in the effort now, why should we use him, maybe?
Yeah, so were you saying no to Jigginstown when they were coming to you saying,
oh, no, I never turned down to Jigginstown. You know, my agent might ring and look, you can go to Kilbegan or Tremor for one ride there, and I'd say, oh, no, sure, I'll leave it be, but...
You never turned down Jigginstown rides?
No, never. Never.
Because I suppose the suggestion was that you weren't working hard enough and that you were living on past glories. And it's strange because I don't think you've lost your ability or anything like that.
No, I wouldn't say at all I've lost my ability. Anytime I've gotten a good ride this summer, I seem to have won it or the treble there.
And you've won a lot of rides where you were on an 8-10-1
shot. Yeah, well, I've seen, like,
your stats are good.
It's annoying me this year. Is like I'm winning 80-95s in these, but they're still winners. And at this moment in time, a winner means more to me now, whereas if I won an 80-95 and I was a Jigginstown, so I should look as just another winner, whereas now every winner matters.
Do you feel like you're kind of in the middle of a comeback? Is that what this is?
Well, I'd love to prove people wrong. You know, people say, oh, sure, he doesn't want to ride this, that and the other, whereas now I think I'm seen to be riding these lower grade type of horses and I'm winning on them, so hopefully I'd love to get back to where I was, basically, but it's going to take a bit of work.
It's absolutely mad, the situation he's in. Like, he's the equivalent of, like, some teenage starlet who went over to England and made it very quickly and then maybe got an injury. And
went there too.
Huh?
I went there too.
He certainly went there too. So, and you've had bad injuries. But, like, for me, the key factors and three key kind of negatives in your career was, one of them was the death of Desi Hughes, second was injuries, and the third one was losing the Jigginstown job. But now you have to kind of say, this lad is still riding as well as ever, and I'm amazed more people don't use him. I know maybe your reputation needs work because of what you're saying, but and that's what I find your story fascinating, because you're still young and you could have a massive few chapters ahead of you.
I'd love to think so, yeah. Mm. To be fair, I think in Ireland now you need a big trainer behind you, if you want to get there. And thankfully, Henry de Bromwell is one of them, one of those bigger trainers who support me. So as I said to Henry, I'd love to just get on one grade one horse again, and that one grade one horse could turn into two grade one horses. You never know.
How does the conversation with Henry go? Because has he always been in your corner, or did you have to win him back?
No,
as well?
I think, to be fair, Henry was always there. When I got let go by Jigginstown, I was still riding quite a lot of his horses. I was riding a lot of the Jigginstown horses for him at the time. And then I got the Alan Potts job, which would have been this week last year, nearly a year. And Henry loves commitment, he loves loyalty, and if you're in the yard, he'll give you rides. And I probably couldn't commit to Henry then, because I could be in Ireland on a Monday and I could be in England on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Just to explain to anybody who's unfamiliar, so the Alan Potts job is, Alan Potts is a trainer in England and an owner.
No, he was an owner,
England. He said you would ride his horses in England.
All his horses, yeah, for Colin Tizard.
Okay. Who,
this was the complex thing, so Robbie Power was riding them over here and you were riding
Robbie
them
Power
over there.
Rode.
And you
Four
were based in ones. Ireland,
yeah.
And Colin Tizard wouldn't have had much knowledge of you either. I wouldn't have known you.
No, didn't really. Never rode from before. Next thing, this has just landed all of a sudden onto him. And Robbie Power was after winning all these horses, and where I could understand he wasn't agreeing with the situation at the time, but he accepted because he was training for Alan. But I knew myself it was never really going to last. And thankfully he got off to a great start. But then unfortunately Alan passed away. And then I kind of said, right, I'm probably in a spot of bother here now, because Colin always wanted Robbie.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I couldn't see why not, because he had unbelievable success for him. He rode a lot of winners for him, and he was going to be pushing for Robbie more than me. And then I don't know what happened. I think I got a fall somewhere and I missed Tingle Creek it was Tingle Creek, wasn't it? The Fox Norton. And Robbie Power rode him, and then that was it then, basically.
Probably should have won.
What?
He probably should have won.
That's up to the pundit's opinion.
Yeah. So, at that point, is that the start of this year? Start of 2018?
That was the start of this year, and that's what I think maybe messed me up quite a little bit in Ireland, because I had no routine, and then my agent, was trying quite hard to get me rides in Ireland, and he couldn't, because we were going back to where I was with Jigginstown. The Irish trainers were saying, well, sure, look, why are we using him today? He'd be in England next week. And I think Davey got on a couple of Henry's horses there, and one of them, and then that ship sailed as well, so I was kind of on my own again.
And at that point, are you thinking, I need to get a job, I need to get out of this, I need to knuckle down, I need to ask why, what can I do to change this?
I had a good chat myself. No, I never thought of giving up. No, sure, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Riding horses since I did a college course there two years ago, but still I couldn't see myself sitting in an office or doing anything like that. I just said to myself, right, I had a good chat with myself, didn't, like a lot of people go see people, this, that and the other, but I knew to myself, right, it's like this now, either put in the work or go find something else. So I said to myself, sure, we'll give it a go and put in the work.
Was it literally yourself? Is there somebody you can get advice who understands?
There is. You can talk to anyone. You can
but people go you trust.
See. Trust is tough in this game. There's very few people that you could trust. You'd have a lot of friends, but
why do you say that?
I'm sure here everyone's fighting for their own corner. I'd be the same. I've a couple of close friends, one or two close friends that have my girlfriend, my mum and dad, and other than that, you have to be careful who you say that to. But I'd say, basically at the bottom line, I kind of had a chat myself and said to myself, it's only me. At the end of the day, it was up to me if I wanted to get back to where I was. And I said it was probably going to take a year, maybe 2 years, but hopefully I'd love to get back to where I was.
And when you say I'll go and work, you mean showing up at 6 in the morning or whatever time it is that the riding night happens?
Yeah, you have to show commitment. You have to show trainers that you're willing to, you want the success and you want to put in the work. And I think, as I said, the day of the
That means riding out, sorry.
Riding out in the yards and showing the trainers that you're willing to get up on these horses and you want to put in the effort.
Irrespective of whether or not they're already a superstar.
Davy Russell had to do as well. You know, he thought maybe it was a little bit different then because Davy had quite a lot of owners he, you know, had built up, but it was different then. But I think now you just have to show that you're willing and want to put in the work.
Were you bitter over the Jigginstone? I suppose, Michael and Eddie would say that, and in fairness, they've kind of been true to that, that they don't use any one. I've always thought that a retained jockey for an owner is completely unnecessary.
That day is gone, I think.
Yeah, so Barry Geraghty's time with JP McManus wouldn't be deemed an unqualified success, and JP seems to be kind of using Mark Walsh and Barry and whoever else now. I don't see the point in it because I think Henry wants his own jockey, that's fine. Noel Mead might want his own jockey. But nevertheless, so Jigginstone are more using. Did you feel bitter over that? It just happened around the Galway Festival. People probably half saw it coming, but, you know, and they're deemed a ruthless kind of duo or whatever. But what was your experience out of that?
I won't lie, it was quite tough to take. Like, at the time, like, I went up there genuinely thinking, because I had an unbelievable punch down that year, 3 or 4 Grade 1 winners, and I said, right, maybe I might get it. I knew it was never going to last forever, genuinely. I said, look, maybe if I get one more year out of it, it'd be great. And I did go up there thinking I might, you know, get another year out of it. And then when he did say that you're finished, it hurt, like, you know, because everything is thrown into that basket. And I actually said to myself, well, shit, what am I going to do now? Like, you know what I mean? Well, I'm on my own and whatever.
Like, any time any of us loses a job involuntarily, that's not easy. But when it's all over the papers, first top story of the Racing Post.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a few, like, there's one or two people that just, I was annoying, like, I'm not going to mention names, but, like, a few people for papers, and you actually weren't one of them, to be fair, but at the time, there was a few. It was like they got enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, and I was there's a glee. Like, people are gleeful.
Yeah,
it
was like they were happy I was gone.
That they're breaking the story first before anybody else. So they've got a bit of information. So it's like a little tidbit of gossip that they have that's better than everybody else's. And they're delighted about that, not thinking about you being at the middle of it going, hang on a second, this person just lost their job.
I'd find that very hard now.
There was a couple of things that did annoy me, but I'd be that type of person that I kind of laugh about it. And but, you know, there was a few things that were said that didn't need to be said, I thought, you know. But that's the game you're in.
Then there's the people who pile on afterwards. They're the worst.
Well, yeah. And then you get your name and then stories go on and this, that, and you're just like everything, you know.
Just going back to that, like, how difficult was it riding for different trainers for Jigginstone? Because it's not like you're going to get on really well with every one of them.
No, well, you don't get on well with every horse. Maybe I might just pick Apple Jade, for example. I thought I got on quite well with her. Don Pauly, for example, I thought I got on quite well with him. But there was a lot of other horses I didn't get on with. And
like who? Go on. Off the top of my head, I can't even remember. Yeah, you got on well with Don Pauly, which was easier said than done.
He's a typical Grade 1. I didn't really get on that well with him.
Yeah.
I had no reason. I'm just throwing names out there. Like,
he's a funny type of horse in way as well. Yeah. Which is fine. You can't. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I thought it was funny. I used to do a lot of Cheltenham previews, and then for 2 years in a row I stopped doing them. These Cheltenham preview things up before Cheltenham, and I said, I'm enough of them. Don't ask that stuff for money. I just said, no, I'm not doing them anymore. And a few people said, oh, sure, Brian shouldn't be riding Don Costa. He doesn't get on and this, that, and the other. And winning on him was actually meant a lot. I know you say, Gold Cup is going to mean more to you than anything else, but it was just proving a lot of people wrong that you did get on with him. And
but also, you could have made the wrong call, because that was very, like, there was Don Pauly and Don Cossack was a big borderline decision for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, whatever, beforehand, and then maybe the weather maybe changed. But in fairness, you were on by far the better horse.
He was at the time. Well, I genuinely think Don Pauly was a very good horse, but maybe just not up to the class of Don Cossack. Probably could have won a Gold Cup on, you know, soft, heavy ground that way, but on good ground, Don Cossack was very classy. And
were you beating cue cards?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
She got there too soon.
Yeah, that must have been some buzz.
Yeah, it was class. It was good crack. It was just unbelievable.
Gordon's first Gold Cup winner.
Gordon's first Gold Cup. I'm delighted to have ridden a Gold Cup for him. You know, what he's done in the sport in the short space time is unbelievable. And you take another one, but it's, you know, at least it's there and you've done it.
Yeah. So you did have a relationship with a bunch of trainers coming off the back of the Jigginstone thing.
Yeah, well, I suppose you'd Gordon Elliott, Henry de Bromhead, Noel Mead, Mouse Morris, and that they were the main four then, I suppose. And then there was obviously other smaller trainers with that beforehand. When I got the job, there was a load of trainers, but they were the main ones, I suppose. Didn't have a lot of success for Noel Mead, maybe. A couple of great one winners, but thought I had a lot of, I rode the majority of my winners for Gordon, basically, because he is the most horses.
Yeah. What did you want him with him now, or is he
Gordon?
Do you go up there at all? Or?
No, not well.
Yeah.
Not, no.
It's not like he's short of jockeys.
No, there's a load of jockeys there at this moment in time. He's a lot of Jigginstown horses, and I've had a couple of rides from in and out since then. But yeah, no, he's plenty of jockeys up there at the minute.
And is that a clean break from Jigginstown? You're not getting back on a Jigginstown horse. Is that just the way it works?
No, I rode from the Galway Plate this year.
Right. So yeah. It's all grand now.
Yeah, I get on. I actually get on better already now than I did when I had the job.
What's Eddie like to work for?
Look, Eddie's. I think he's a great man. He's unbelievable to buy a horse. You know, what he's done for Michael is, you know, picked out all these horses. I know you say it's easy to do with the money, but Eddie is unbelievable to buy a horse. He's got an eye, like he'd see things that other people would never do. I get on quite well with him now. You know, obviously when we were involved with Jigginstown, when I was in with Jigginstown, you'd have your highs and lows moments, you'd have your arguments, but
I think that whole thing is fascinating because you've JP McManus and you have Michael O'Leary. And you have one of them is basically running Jigginstown, one of them is running his own operation. And when JP gave all the money recently to the county boards, it was, in fairness, pointed out that, well, he's not actually paying his tax in this country. Michael O'Leary pays all his tax in this country. And then when you translate that to racing, all of their horses are in Ireland and all of their horses are trying. They're very, very honourably campaigned. And even though they're ruthless in terms of their trainers and their jockeys, they replaced Davy Russell on New Year's Day with this lad, then they replaced him. What they've done for the sport is absolutely phenomenal in my view. And what you see is what you get, but 99% of the time what you see is what you like as well.
I'd say without them, if they weren't in the game now, I think the game would be like, I don't know where it would be. Because what they've put into it is unbelievable. Like Michael and he genuinely says it's a hobby to him. It is, I know, a hobby, but he's worked multi-millions into it, but it is actually a hobby. He loves racing, he loves Cheltenham, he loves these big days and having these big winners.
Yeah, and when you've come off a horse that you should have won on that's lost, what's that like with Michael O'Leary?
Michael doesn't care,
right?
Genuinely. Or when you pick the wrong one.
Or if you lose, like...
nobody likes losing, but if you've done all you've meant to do and you've done nothing wrong, well then he said, look, there's always another day.
Yeah,
you can't burn bridges as well, because Davy could have, if Davy went off on a hoof, when most people thought he was unfairly treated at the time, but he didn't, and he's ridden.
Look where he is now.
Look where he is now. And they still use Brian, the two O'Learys, like not as much, but you can't burn bridges. And I know that myself in journalism. You might be disappointed by something, but you just gotta, you know, keep going and be magnanimous about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you've so many years ahead as he has.
Yeah, no, it's true. You're doing some pin hooking though. It's not a full time gig or anything, but
no,
like,
I bought a couple of flat horses in the last couple of years. The old tax man isn't around there anywhere, is he?
possibly.
I enjoy it. Thankfully, I started off doing a bit of with the breeze ups, and this year was quite tough. And I'm very lucky that I have that at home.
What's the breeze ups?
It's so you basically buy them as a yearling, train them away, and before they race, they go to a sale. It's called a breeze up, and they go for 2 furlongs
right
on the race course, and it's all about time. If you do 21 seconds, if you do 22 seconds, you get quite a lot of money. If you don't,
it's actually the most time related thing in races.
Oh yeah, it's all about the clock.
It's fun, like in 100 meters, it's all about like who's a 100 meter record. But in racing, there's so many variables. Nobody gives a damn. Like, and the course and distance record in Dundalk might be broken in like a handicap. Do you know? Because it's the breeze ups is very.
It's literally just about the clock. And
where is it? All around the place?
Often in Gorn.
Yeah, right. There's the start. The first one was being Ascot in England. The second, the most of them are in England. The second one is in.
Bringing horses over?
Yeah, I'd bring them over. I'd won at every sale this year, which was my first year. Well, there's myself and a partner of mine, Cormac O'Flynn.
Right.
The two of us do it. I would have met him through my girlfriend's best friend, basically. He works in London, he's a trader.
Right.
He's got the money.
Okay. Trader. Nice.
Yeah. I know. And we kind of started off just with one, and it's built. Then we had two, and last year we had five. And we sold all the five from last year. And didn't go belly up, so we're going again this year.
Okay, so you get them at sales and then train them?
Yeah, I send them out to Dad. Dad puts in all the hard work, and I was already on the phone to him there earlier on. He was giving out, he didn't get this ridden out because the rain, this and the other.
It wouldn't be like your father to be giving out.
No, well, he's not that bad, but people think he's worse. Oh, he's very busy, yeah. Very busy. He's hard to get staff, but he's got a good few for me. He's an owner, John Ryan, who was stuck in for Paddy the Plaster at the time. And he's got a couple of horses down there. And then he's pre-training for Andrew Brooks, that trainer at Utah. I got the big job for that time. And
well, I kind of did for a while, yeah.
That didn't last either.
As long as you get the story, whether it's true or not, you know what I mean? Like, I suppose the other thing with you is, what are you going to do longer term when you, because you're quite a round individual, would you see yourself outside of racing or training or?
I don't know, I like the sales crack. I like the punditry kind of thing. I did a bit of work for RTE, and obviously I'm doing this and other bits of me. I like that, I enjoy that. Could never see myself training at all. Don't think I'd ever go training. Like, I'd like to have a couple of horses at home and tip weight to sales and maybe do a bit of punditry work, but...
Why not training? Just the hours?
Oh, it's just crazy. I've seen both ends of it. I've seen the highs and the lows through Dad. Like, Dad had two Cheltenham Festival winners, and now he's maybe has three winners a year. Like, I've seen the highs and the lows, and I just, to be known, you're coming out of one job that it's hardship, you know, it's tough working and you're putting yourself into another job, which is, I think when I retire, I'd like to enjoy my retirement and have a bit of crack.
Hopefully, a long way away.
Was the Jigginstown thing a wake-up call in some respects? Can you look back now on it and go, okay, Grant, I could have been like flitting my way through and...
Well, it was never ever going to last. Like, it was, those big jobs don't last.
What'd you get when you were 22, 21, 22, 20?
Yeah.
I think they learned a lesson in that it might have been too early for him as well, even though he'd achieved a lot. It's very early to get a big job like that, because the one thing you're sure about in jumps racing is that it's going to be a lot of setbacks, including injuries, and some of the injuries you've had. Was it Clarkham?
Yeah, I already had that job 3 months and I broke my leg. That was tough now, but I got the job in January and broke my leg in Cheltenham.
What happened in the leg break?
I broke my tib and fibia.
Was it second last? Fred Winter? Speed.
Yeah, I would have won. Like, and I got quite a bad fall, and I was in the hospital for 9 or 10 days. Like, I basically did a fair job of my leg now, and it was tough going. But I was off for 8 months to the day. And I came back in October, and thankfully, when I came back, I was very lucky. I came back and I had a job there waiting for me when I came back.
Yeah,
which was like, if you know, you just start up from getting. If it happened 6 months ago and I had to do what I had to do now, it would be very, very tough for her. I knew all that time I was coming back, I was going to go to Jigginstown, and I had all these unbelievable horses, and Desi Hughes was still around at the time, and I had his horses as well. Like, so I had two massive stables behind me.
Did you ever feel, and this is something that if you hear this in racing attached to a jockey, it's such a negative, like, did you ever lose your bottle or feel that?
No.
Never?
No. Well, I know if I lost my bottle, I don't think I would have achieved what I've achieved in this, like, not blowing it up or anything like that, but I would say I would have struggled, like, when I came back, where I didn't. Like, I came back in October, and I think I had 5 Grade 1 winners in Leopardstown that Christmas. Like, it was, like, you know, I came back. Now, it is a massive help having that job, but still, you need, like, you have to perform at the end of the day. If your bottle isn't there, you're not going to perform. You know?
Yeah, it's not driving a car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In terms of all the stuff that we've been talking about on the show in recent weeks about, like, mental health and nutrition and all that kind of stuff, are you a scientist? Do you believe in, like,
do
you eat well, or are you square chocolate every 3 days kind of thing?
No, I'd be a fussy eater. Like, I'd be two meal a day. Melanie, my girlfriend, gets out to me. She says, like, do you not eat 3 meals a day?
Today, because you're going for dinner later on.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
It's funny, my weight is quite good at the minute. I was quite heavy there 2 winters ago. I was 10'4" or 5", whereas now I'm 10 stone. I do 10 stone, no, whatever I had to know. I think your weight is up and down, but I don't smoke. I'd be two meals a day. I'd have a good lunch and a good dinner.
Right.
I'd have my... love crisps, like, eat a lot of Tao's and things like that. But, you know, I wouldn't be health freak or anything like that. I do go to the gym quite a bit. I have to because just my leg gives me a bit of bother, so I kind of have to kick start.
From the Clark Amber?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I brought my femur before that as well, so it gives me a little bit of bother, so I kind of kick that into gear a bit.
And what about sports psychology and all that kind of stuff? Are you into that? Like, we walked in and you were like, oh, I read all his books. So you're obviously, you're reading sports books. Are you reading sports psychology books?
Yeah, well, obviously I read Kieran Donnelly's book because Kerry man, proud Kerry man, and he's a bit of a hero. I've read a bit of books. I think it's kind of come on the scene, psychology in sports, a lot in the last 2 years. Everyone has their own kind of judgment. I've seen sports psychologists, you know, people recommend them, but I think at the end, for me, everyone's different, but for me, it's all down to yourself.
You don't buy into it necessarily?
I don't know, I'd be different. Like, I'd just say to myself, everyone gets low and have low points in their life, but yeah. I'm different. It's up to me. If I want to do it, I just give myself a belt in the back of the head and drive on, really.
Yeah.
Now everyone's different.
Absolutely, and like, everybody's different, and you can have two people who are actually fairly similar and into sports psychology, and they both go to the same person, and they have very different experiences.
Absolutely.
The message.
Like, I've massive people. Respect for them, and you know, and I've seen two or three of them, but I think it's all down to myself, and if there's something wrong with me, I give myself a kick up the rear end and say to myself, right, it's either up to you now, or you can, there's no point sitting down dwelling about it, you know, you just have to move on. It's what's in the past.
You're good mates with some of the Wexford hurlers as well, in a strange twist of fate. Yeah. What do you have to do with the old social aspect of life?
Well, sure, everyone has a good old social life.
Yeah, but the ones I've met are sound lads.
Yeah, sure, there's one that stands out quite a bit, and he's the Fogarty man.
Yeah, Mikey
Fogarty. He's not riding anymore, but he'd be one of my very close friends.
Lee Chin cut his hair there earlier in the year. Yeah, I was like, it's a nice haircut, and he goes, yeah, Chinner did it. Yeah,
That's a lie anyway, because he told me he got it done in Cork. He done it for charity, so I don't know which one he was telling the truth to. But I've been good friends. Mikey, Lee Moog McGovern, who plays Sergeant for Wexford, Lee Chin, Matt O'Hanlon. They'd be good friends of mine,
well.
D O'Keefe, yeah. I suppose I got to know them all through Mikey, and you know, it's crazy because Kerry man friends with Wexford hurlers, but no, that's how I got to know them, and you know, we'd go for a pint here and then, and we'd have a bit of crack.
Where do you live?
I live in Newbridge.
Right.
I bought my house there at Christmas 2012, and my girlfriend's living with me, you know, she moved in this time last year, so.
How's that going?
That's grand.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a personal question there, Johnny.
We're still together anyway, yeah. So we're not going
birthday
too
bad. Birthday coming up, you know.
Yeah, birthday today, I have to look after.
Very good.
When I did get let go, she was a massive help to me.
Has she any interest in racing?
She's an event rider.
Right.
So she knows the crack. I'd say without her now, I would have been lost. I could have went off the rails, you know what I mean? I was a young lad, got sacked, had loads of time to myself, but I didn't. She made sure, she doesn't like when I sit at home and do anything, she makes sure I get up and do it. If I was sitting at home now and she said, what you do all day? I said, I watch TV. She
wouldn't be
in the dog books for a couple of days, so yeah, no, she's a massive help as well.
It's no harm. So you said it was kind of the start of the year when you had that chat with yourself. Whereabouts are you on the comeback trail at the moment? How much?
Well, we're going into the main part of our season. Love to ride grade one winner this year. Last year was the first year I didn't ride one since 2012, which is what? 5 years.
6 years.
Six years. So that was quite annoying. I love riding the big winners. I'd love to ride grade one winner this year again. But I think just riding winners and trying to build up as many contacts with trainers and owners as I can, and hopefully I can on for them.
Yeah, the point you were making earlier on, Johnny, about the talent still being there, it strikes me that like if this was a baseball conversation, if this was any other sports conversation, it'd be like you currently have an asset that's undervalued here, somebody who was available to you if you're an owner or a trainer.
Like Brian's big thing is reputation. Just Brian, I don't think there's anyone who, like Brian is without a shadow of a doubt one of the most talented jockeys that we've had in the last couple of generations, really. And even this season, with very modest resources, I'd go as far as to say you may have ridden two favourites this year. You've had 10 winners, 9 winners from 86 rides, 10%. It's very good going. And everyone says you get confidence by riding good horses. Brian is riding bugger all good horses. And if Ordinary World is a good horse to him now, that's where he's at. So to be able to still ride 0-95s and win. But for trainers, it's just, there's so many, so few horses going around. It's just, I suppose they need to know that Brian is reliable in the long term and that his hunger is there. Because his talent-wise, like, I don't know if there's a better jockey in Ireland talent-wise than Brian Cooper.
That's why you want to come on and talk about it, right? It's like,
address
those concerns and say,
well, yeah, I'd love to, as I said, I love riding winners, but I love riding big winners, and I'd love to get on a couple of good horses again.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the races this weekend, Johnny. Did you tip a winner for us last week?
Last week's a long time ago. I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
I can't remember. I don't think I did, to be honest. Tipped a winner in the last few months.
This week, as usual, we are looking to Johnny to make use of our charity bet from thetote.com, and we're looking at Navin. You like the look of Shellcar. Shellcar?
We'll go with Shellcar. Most unusually for Willie Mullins, when this horse ran in Galway race, he still managed to have the 1-2 in the GPT, the old GPT on the Monday night.
He did. Ryan Moore rode him, wasn't he?
Ran an absolute blinder. Man knows his flat form. That was over 2.5, 2.5. So he went into Galway over 2 miles, and I thought, perfect, like, and he just absolutely flopped. I think there obviously was something amiss, but Willie, I was making the point to him, Champions Weekend at Leopardstown.
Huh? Did he listen to you?
No. No, he didn't, but nevertheless, I was like, so Willie, between the horse is Ness and Dorma and Limini. So Limini had run in 3 Premier Handicaps in a row, and one of them was this race in which Shellcar ran. I think there were 4 Premier Handicaps, or 3 or 4, in which Willie had the 1-2, which is incredible for, he's not even a flat trainer. But anyway, Shellcar was only 9-2 in that Galway race. Down the field, Willie the 1-2, and Eurodale's actually running in the Cesarewitch on Saturday. But in the Irish Cesarewitch, Shellcar, Colin Keane as a rider, like, actually kind of half reminds me of you in terms of the flat equivalent, but I think he's absolutely class.
Yeah. Doesn't. For me, what I find in a good rider is they don't make mistakes. Very rarely make mistakes. Ryan Moore, typical example, like, you never see him mess up. And I think Colin Keane is a typical example, like, you very rarely see him getting beat on when he should.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
He's a bit younger than me, but I think he's unbelievably talented.
You're obviously sitting watching all the racing you can watch them, because sometimes people come in and we're talking about these races and they're like, not a clue. But you,
I know, I wouldn't sit home and watch racing every day of the week, but you know a good rider and you see one. I think Colin Keane is unbelievably talented.
And I'd be the forgiven type in terms of one bad run, because that was way too bad to be true. And I'd say the horse could be 6-7-1 maybe on Sunday. So we're going to go all in on the win in the 4.25 at Navin, which is good to firm in places at the moment, which is absolutely incredible. But there we are.
Yeah. I think the weather's going to be okay, funnily enough.
You survived the storm?
Yeah, the yellow/orange/, it's going red. No, it's not. And it's like,
it's absolutely grand.
Ophelia,
yeah,
or something like that.
Turning on the East Coast anyway. So, Shellcar in Navin at 4.25 on Sunday. That's the bet.
It is.
The win.
And actually, I see 12-1 at the moment. I'm going to rush out and try and back that. Obviously, back it with the tote, though.
Yeah, and bet responsibly. Check out
that's important as well.
Our charity bet, thetote.com, is with our Friday bets here on Friday Night Racing. There were a couple of other races that we wanted to talk about at Newmarket on Saturday in particular. The Darley Dewhurst Stakes and the Cesarewitch.
Who do you fancy in the Dewhurst?
So darn hot.
Yeah. So too darn hot, who's Brian's fancy. Right, so his full brother went at the sales this week for, I think, 3.5 million guineas, which is roughly 3.6 million sterling, which is roughly 4 million euro. To Qatar Racing.
Okay.
Sheikh Fahad, who, in fairness, has had a great relationship with Ireland, and I think we're very, very thankful that he's put so much resource in, even ridden races and had bumper horses and all of that. But the dam was a very good horse, Da Remy, and she's gone to Dubai 4 times, and they've had good an horse, incredibly successful love life, because they've had four horses, 3 of them have been remarkably talented, and the fourth one has gone for €4 million. But just at the prices, he's this horse is going to be odds on. I think he's possibly going to win the Derby next year. I'm just not sure he should be as short as he is. I'm going to go with Anthony Van Dyke, who was second to Quarto in the Vincent O'Brien National Stakes at the Curragh, and Aidan's horses have been in unbelievable shape. He's around 4-1, 9-2. It's a bit annoying, only 7 runners. He'd be great each way, I bet, but he's my preference at the prices.
Okay, I'm seeing around 7-2 on this one, but we're seeing 4-1 up there, so the price is fluctuating. And that's not an each way bet?
Not with 7 runners, unfortunately.
No, okay, but too darn hot, you do like.
Too darn hot's an exceptional horse.
Just unbackable at even.
Like, if he were 6-4, I'd probably back him. Not at odds on. I think Andy Van Dyke is. I still think he's a very promising horse. He was very game at the Curragh, and Aidan's horse is just went through a bit of a lull, not anymore.
Okay, so this is Arrowich then next, 3:40 at Saturday at Newmarket.
Yeah, again, like. The two Cesarewiches this weekend, like Willie is playing.
What is a Cesarewich? What are
it's
these?
Basically,
horses?
A staying race, 2 miles, 2 furlongs, slightly different trip in Ireland, but like it's $500,000. The Ebor is now £1 million race.
It's crazy.
Yeah, unbelievable, and like
for a handicap,
like the staying handicaps in the flat now, the best ones. Willie Mullins is the most, yeah. The biggest. This is like really incredible.
Back his strike rate is unbelievable.
Absolutely insane. Like, and Willie is, I think, 61 or 2, and a bit like Jessica Harrington, took the flat race and more or less late in life, just because of maybe the caliber of horses they were getting. But
2-year-old winner there today.
He did a 2-year-old winner at Tipperary, landed a big gamble in the first race. Rachel Blackmore rode that and then won the graded hurdle on the card. What an incredible story. But anyway, Willie has, I mean,
7.
He's a load of horses in this. Stratham is probably going to be favourite. The draw in 18, very, very unlucky the last day. In the Ebor, actually, and Robert Winston says loyal to him, Dublin rider. I'm going to go with one of the forgotten men in racing at the moment, which is Tony Martin. I'm going to go with his horse. John Egan's going to ride Golden Spear. He's drawn in 8, and he ran a lovely race in the trial. He's about 33-1, 25-1. He's run well in this race before. You're going to need a bit of luck and run. I think he's less likely to get bad luck because of his draw. And John Egan, who's probably about 52 or 3 now, maybe. Yeah, his son has gone great guns, David, in England, who's obviously a grandson of the late Desi Hughes as well. But I think Golden Spear has a reasonably great chance in a tour.
Even on a 2 mile race, the draw matters.
Ah, it does, it would. It's like if you've a 2 mile race at Chester, and even over 2 miles, the difference between drawing 1 and 17 is 4-1 and 12-1. Genuinely.
Just because you were on an extra
Quick
distance.
Jack one year in Chester, he literally didn't actually come off the bridle, finished fourth.
Yeah.
But like Richard Hughes rode him, I'll never forget, and he was sitting there, he'd nowhere to go.
Yeah.
He was drawn wide and he tucked in, you know, rode the, kind of like what James Doyle done in the Ark.
Say at the Curragh, you basically have like a kind of, it's more like a kind of a, maybe like a boomerang, which kind of edges like that. But if you have something like this, which is just basically a circle, and you're not hugging in the rail, it's kind of like you're running a relay, but
you're going to lose lengths, like if you're wide.
Yeah, and if you go for the brave man's route, which is go up the inner, you might have like the whole field to pass, just not going to happen.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say,
so you got to shoot out early and get to the inside.
Yeah, basically. If you can. And then, well, the one thing I will say about not people that are bored, people that don't get racing, just look at the things that like you have to analyse in a race and how much that can go wrong, and the brilliant jockeys that can overcome that. Like Brian riding a horse that shouldn't win that wins, and it just becomes fascinating. And also like the frailties of the horse's mind and the frailties of the jockeys, and you throw all that in together and it's a fusion that will always be fascinating for me.
Yeah.
I think last week was a prime example of James Doyle in the Ark. Like, I thought it was an unbelievable
ride. What a race, like the Ark last weekend.
And like it was actually a 9. Like, I don't read into social media that much. But this actually annoyed me. Like, there was people slating him for the ride he gave. Like, he should have won. Like, he gave it a peach. He was drawn, whatever, like literally
18
or something. And he tucked in, went to Brave Man's route. Was unlucky that I think enabled just quickened at the wrong time and got 2 lengths in him. But like, it was unbelievable to come from where he did.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I put up a poll on Twitter, who'd win in a match race at the same weights between the two. And it was something like 56-44. And that's how divided people are. 44% of them were wrong. They said enable, right? And 56%. Like, James Doyle is an unbelievable year. The ride he's given her, the ride in the Irish Oaks, and it was just, like, you're literally talking inches, but I can't see what else he could have done in the circumstances in a muddling race. But she emerged, like, there are 2 fillies going head-to-toe. Enable wins it for the second year running. Frankie Dettori in his early 50s, and James Doyle, he talks about his devastation after the race, and then you've idiots giving out about the ride.
Is there nobody smart enough to put up like a couple of million for a one-off race. Like if they can get like 10 million for
like Seabiscuit and Tiger Woods. What was it, War Admiral?
War Admiral, yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And like it was like who were the two jump stars back in the day? Buckhouse and Dawn One, wasn't it? Like that stuff gets people going. Like there's, you know, and because like the difference in a 2-horse race compared to an 18-horse race in terms of the tactics and the speed you go. Yeah. And she, Enable was a bit keen, and even though she had a perfect position, she was a bit keen. Whereas C class won't be keen. She's a little bit quirky, but like she just goes through the motions in a race. And one of the best races I've seen. We were all watching it at Tipperary races, and everyone was glued. And my immediate impression was that the best horse was second, but through no fault of the rider, just bad luck.
The JT McNamara Ladbrokes Munster National Handicap Steeplechase is on Sunday at Limerick.
You should have a ride in this. But you
I did. Yeah. Didn't declare it last minute. I was meant to ride Jarrub for Chris Jones and Garrod O'Loughlin, but he didn't declare me. He scoped bad or something. So that's where.
Frustrating.
Oh, well, I was booked on him at 10 o'clock, and I knew, like, he said at 5:10 he didn't declare, so there was no way I was getting on anything else. So but I won it before on Raz de Marie.
Oh,
medal or something like that.
Who runs in the race?
Raz de Marie.
He actually does. Yeah, he's running at the age of
14.
He is, let me just check, one of the top weights. I think he's 13.
So 13, yeah.
He won the Welsh National this year, and I have to mention his trainer, Gavin Cromwell, for the resources he has. He was basically like, he was a blacksmith.
Gordon's farrier.
Yeah, he was Gordon Elliott's farrier. Then he sort of turned his hand to training, and with a handful of horses, in the last 10, his last 10 horses, 4 of them have won. 2 of them won flat handicaps. One of them I'm involved in, who was deeply frustrating, but finally won a race. Probably tested Gavin's patience more than nearly any horse he's had.
Got a few of the Dublin footballers
involved. That was a different one, actually. We'll get to that later. But he won the first race today, a maiden hurdle at Downpatrick. And on Saturday, there was one Irish trainer over the 2 days of Longchamp who had a winner. Gavin Cromwell in a Group 2 with a cheaply bought filly. And it's a great story. He's inexpensive. You know, he doesn't have that many horses. And what he's done is incredible. And he runs Raz de Marie. Brian won this race on Raz de Marie, who's now 13, in 2012. Winning with Desi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won, came out 3 weeks later and won the Cork.
Cork National. Been very fortunate because JP's horse fell at the last, wasn't it?
No.
Could be. Did you ride him in Cork?
Yeah.
Probably right then.
A difference of memories in this one.
Nationals.
The man in the race versus, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, it's all guesswork, represents Gordon Elliott, who, what do you make of Our Father here? Because Our Father is a 12-year-old.
Hasn't run in
1,382 days. So if Gordon can turn this round, ex-David Pipe, often fancied for these big handicaps.
Right.
Dennis O'Regan, 10 stone. I think this is just compelling race. Himself and it's all guesswork. He's 6 years of age. You wouldn't fancy him.
No.
Why not?
He won a bad beginner.
It was a midland. He jumps great.
Jumps great, but like I was second him on a horse, Colin Bowes, and. I don't know what I fancy. It's a lottery, you know. I'd be kind of going for one, as you said, down at the bottom of the weights.
Black Scorpion as well, Eric McNamara, who's from
Stole.
Yeah, and
where do these horses end up afterwards? How good are they?
Cork National and maybe Tritown.
Tritown, Paddy Power. One might likes a Raz de Marie, maybe Alpha Lisobo running an English National if they get in.
You should have a ride though this weekend. Like it's mad a jockey of his talent doesn't have a ride over the weekend. And I just think it's, obviously it's a bit of bad luck, but I definitely hope that trainers and kind of connections will look in and just say, oh yeah, Brian Cooper, like he's often available. And a lot of the time you will be stuck for a jockey, like, and I'd be amazed if there were two jockeys more talented than Brian, like.
Yeah, okay. So.
And I'm not here to try to promote him because I give him plenty of slagging as well.
Yeah. Have you got a horse in the Munster National?
It's all guesswork would be my selection. Which
got poo-pooed by...
Yeah, well, it kind of sums up my tipping career, really, doesn't it? It's all guesswork.
Brian, you mentioned...
And an Our Father as well, to hope that it wins for
there
the
you
same.
There you go. You mentioned that social media is a bit of a pain. Like, we talked to you when we were down a couple of years ago now in Gordon's yard, and that was something that you kind of unprompted brought it up to us, and we're like, hang on a second, there's a lot of people out there who are talking shit and basically know nothing about racing.
I didn't talk to the English press for a while.
Why?
They annoyed me. And I just got
how did they annoy you?
I just said things that annoyed me, and I just refused to talk to them. Blocked a couple of them off my phone and stopped them from ringing me. I can be kind of like that. Like, I kind of get stubborn sometimes. There's a few Irish people I've blocked.
Your father's son, anyway.
That block thing on your phone is great. Like, if you don't want to talk to them, just block them.
Didn't know about that, actually. Yeah,
you no, phone numbers, yeah. If the way I was looking then, if someone has something bad to say about me, why? There was a lot of people then just, you know, always getting having sly digs and that, and I was just saying, well, I'm not going to tell you something, give you information. If you're, you know, the next day you're going to be, oh, sure, he should have wanted that. So I was like, why am I going to help you out if you're not helping me out? Yeah. That was my way of looking at it. Maybe it was wrong, I don't know, but that was the mindset I set in it.
It is a mad career, though, where, like, when it's going really well, 90% of the time you lose. And all of the people who back the horses that you lose on are always pissed off.
I found when you're going well, it's when people are, that's when they're out to get you. Like, they're already waiting for you to do something or say something. And it's, I've seen it so much. Like, it's the amount of people that would, you know, they'd be saying to you, what they'd be saying behind your back. And I've seen it all. Like, it's actually funny, like, when you kind of look back and watch.
So you're more ready for success the next time it comes?
I don't think I would do anything, react any different. I'm kind of set my own ways, but I'm looking for, hopefully I can have more success there.
Well, listen, thanks for joining us today and best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
Johnny, good stuff.
Thanks, sir.
Hopefully we've picked a winner this week.
Good chance, yeah, under Colin Key.
Yeah. All Our Racing is brought to you in association with goracing.ie. Check out the website to get all your plans in action before you do actually end up going racing. And we'll see you next week live at the same time, around about 3 o'clock. You're not here, but Cromwell is. Is that right?
Yeah, probably the first time Cromwell was in New Sock. Cromwell, you know, but I'm away next week, so somebody's going to have to deputise.
A little twinkle in your eye there. Is there a personal question we should be asking you?
I'm in bad need of a holiday. You know, I've been slaving away all year, I have. And, the only holiday I had was going to New York to watch New York and Leitrim in football. And I backed New York, so it was a draw, so I couldn't pay for that holiday. But no, I'm away next week, and I may never come back.
Right, well, on that note, we'll see you. We'll see you next week here, and of course on the radio. It's live this evening. If you missed any of it, or if you wanted to hear any more of it, you can go back and from 7 o'clock tonight on News Talk. We will be rebroadcasting a good portion of this, and also bringing you the rugby match live from the RDS. It's Leinster against Wasps. Good luck.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball,
and they're off.
Brought to you by Go Racing. Plan your day at the races at goracing.ie.